What I want to talk about today is indeed something that is hard to believe, but it's in God's Word. And so it's going to be up to you individually to believe it or not. This is really a believe it or not lecture. We know that you came here with what they call now the word is baggage. We know that you didn't, most of you didn't come here squeaky clean. We know that, Horace, there might be even a couple of sinners out there. We realize all this. And so when you're coming here and getting hit with the standards, when you're getting hit with holy living, when you're getting hit with all these new concepts, you're saying, well, does he understand? Do they understand where I'm coming from? Do they know that that I've lived in a garbage dump? Some of us have, some of us haven't. Do they realize that the thoughts that I think? Do they realize the feelings that I feel? Does that man have any clue? Is he in touch with reality at all? And I'm saying to you, yes, I'm in touch with reality. I'm saying that God's forgiven you. I'm saying that I've got some phenomenal news today that is, in a sense, as good as the gospel of salvation, because it is the gospel of salvation. But it's another part that somehow Christians haven't gotten hold of. And what that is, you know that Christ died. Why did Christ die? To save you from what? Save you from all kinds. Well, I'm hearing all kinds of good answers here. Save you from me? No. Christ died to save you from the punishment of sin, right? That's right. But you know, the Bible says, Laura, that Christ died to save you not only from the punishment of your sin, but Christ died to save you from the power of sin. And that's big news to a lot of folks. And to the folks who, many folks who it isn't big news to, they don't believe it. Listen, I'm telling you, Christ died to save you from the power of sin. That's what we're going to talk about today. You are not doomed to live a mediocre, middle-class Christian life that you have seen others living. You are on fire people. You didn't come here to get to warm me up, to get lukewarm, did you? You came here on fire. I want to get you hotter. I want to stoke the burn. I want to put fuel on the fire. You're a trophy of God's grace. And you'll be given the truth. And so what I'm trying to do today, I guess the best thing to say at the moment, was I'm trying to feed his sheep. Let's go. We'll start in Romans 7. Take out your Bibles that everyone, we're going to be flying around. Now, I'm going to tell you flat out, the lecture I'm giving you today is a grad school lecture in an edge-a-man style. I need you to focus. Now, the classes in the past have done well, but I'm going to tell you, you need to focus. We're going to start off a little, it's going to be a little hard. It's like a good book, like Watership Down. Someone told me to read Watership Down, and they said, now, you got to get past the first 58 pages, because it's kind of slow. After that, it takes off. Are you Star? Good, I found Star. and it's gonna take off. But if you lose me early, if you don't stay focused, you're gonna miss some of the greatest truth you've ever heard in your life. When this thing hits you, you're gonna be wild men, wild women, because you're gonna realize what the Spirit of God wants you to do and enables you to do. All right, so. Stay with me. If you start getting the funnies, fight through it. Thank you. Chapter 7, Romans. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion or rules over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we are held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. All right, let's just bear with me here. Romans 7, 1 through 6 says, Fleshly speaking, a woman is bound in a relationship to a husband. If the husband dies, she's free. Agreed? All right. Spiritually speaking, Romans 7, 1 through 6 says, we're bound in a relationship to the law of sin and death. But it was Jesus Christ who died so we could be set free. We're bound in a relationship to the law of sin and death. Something had to die. Somebody had to die in order for us to be set free. Sin wasn't going to commit Harry Carey. Sin wasn't going to volunteer to die. Satan wasn't going to volunteer to die. Somebody, something had to die in order for us to be set free. And that something, that somebody, is Jesus Christ, who died for us so we could be set free. How can this be? 1 Peter 2:24. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. Awesome verse. Actually, I'll go to 23 and run into it. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. What this is teaching us in 1 Peter 2:24 is that it was Christ who bore our sins in his body and died on the cross. In order for us to be set free from the law of sin and death, so that we may marry another, live for another, live for righteousness, even for him who died. Because he was raised from the dead. Remember last week, praise God. It makes a difference. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The sinless Son of God became sin. Get that. The sinless Son of God became sin. You know how many sins were in him? You know what he became? Do you know when he bore our sins? Just can you imagine the sins he bore in his body from this class so far? Can you imagine putting those sins in one body? The sinless Son of God became sin. Just imagine that. Now how about the sins for the rest of our lives? Now how about the sins of all those who believe in him? The sinless Son of God bore sins, our sins in his body, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are in Christ. Therefore, we are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. I think there are two Heidis in this class. Heidi and Heidi, you are free from the penalty of sin. There's one. You are free. Go on, walk out of the courtroom. You're free. We are free from the power of sin. Where do I get into this? We're going that way. We are free from the power of sin. Some of you people don't know that. Some of you people don't believe that. We are free from the power of sin in a way you've never dreamed of, through the power of the Spirit, the risen Christ. We are free to live godly lives. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what anybody in the world tells you. Well, you had this happen to you, then that's the way you're going to live. Wrong, says the Spirit of God. So what's new? Everything. Everything's new. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's just soak it in. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, hiding it free, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now understand this. I'm going to just, we're going to tell stories. We're going to do all kinds of things right now. Understand this. We're new creations. We're not repaired creations. Paul had the choice of the word. God had the choice of the word. For new, he could have used the word that means repaired or brand new. When I was a teenager, you know what I was thinking of growing up? I was thinking of getting a nose job. You can understand why. And I really was. I mean, people thinking ears jobs and you know, get the eyebrow. I mean, girls tweak and all that stuff. I mean, I wanted to look better. I mean, I wanted to get the, you know, I want to look better than I look. And I remember one girl said to me, you know, you'd be really good looking if it wasn't that nose. And I said, thank you. And I think. Anyway, I was considering getting a nose job. But you know, that nose job wouldn't have been a new nose. They would have fiddled with it and cut half it off. I mean, it, you know what I'm saying. But it still would have been my nose. It would have been a repair job, not a new nose. God did not say, I'm doing a repair job. He chose not to say he's doing a repair job with you. He said, you're a new creation. You're either going to believe it or not. You're either going to live like it or you're not. It's your choice. He says here that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does the word reconcile mean? Dennis, you remember? Anybody? When peace is restored, thank you, Heather. It's bringing people together. Becoming friends again. And now, and we said, well, you know, that it didn't like, all right, God, you did a little bit wrong here, and Doug, you did a little wrong here, and I want to bring you guys together and see if you can work it out. No. It's Doug did everything wrong and has to be brought to God to get reconciled, to become friends. When did Doug become friends with God? I taught you this last week. When did Doug become friends with God? At the cross. Romans 5:10. At the cross, Doug was declared friends with God. So at the cross, Doug was God's enemy, and the cross, Doug became God's friend. And at the resurrection, the friend of God was declared righteous and just, and you're in the heaven where Jesus goes, Doug goes. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So you know what we got going here? This is Alty. Alty, pleased to meet you, Alty, Mr. Ambassador. Daisy, Madam Ambassador, pleased to meet you. Madam Ambassador, hey, you were set free in the courtroom. You're an ambassador now. Congratulations. Do you realize that? You are an ambassador. Do you accept the responsibility and the position and the privilege? You know what, you're ambassador, you know? You know what, the ambassadors get these fancy license plates and they don't get tickets or anything, you know? And they're, you know, an ambassador from or to Zimbabwe or Japan or someplace, or Canada or Mexico or someplace. Do you know who you're an ambassador and where you're from? Another world. You know who you're ambassador of? You know who you represent? God. Do you know what it's like to be teaching you for me? Do you know what I like? I tremble teaching y'all. I tremble. I do. I don't make it up. Feel it right here, right now. Because I know I have been given the privilege of training the ambassadors. You're free from the power of sin, Mr. Ambassador, Madam Ambassador, whatever I'm supposed to call you. But you've got to surrender your will, your way of thinking, the world's way of thinking. You've got to give it up. And you've got to believe. You've got to believe God's promises, God's word. You see, God tells us because of Christ's work, we are new creations, right? And as new creations, we've been given new power by God. Romans 6. Let's make a left. Romans 6. Start at verse 10. For the death he died. Boy, the Bible sure does talk a lot about Jesus' death and resurrection. And there's sure a lot of meaning to it, isn't there? For the death he died. He died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Okay, here's a profound question. What does the word let mean? L-E-T. Who, I think you said it, Alex. Allow, thank you. Allow. What does that imply? If you are, if it, well, what does it imply? Allow me, I'll just say it. Allow means it's in your power. It's in your power, whether or not you allow it or not. God didn't say, you have got no choice in the matter. God said, you've got a choice. Ralph, do not let sin have dominion over you. My kids, when they were small, said, Dad, can I stay up another half hour? Please let us, please let us, please. And I would say yes or no. Yes, I will let you. No, I will not let you. It was within my prerogative, in my power. Do you think God's going to tell you not to, do not let sin have dominion over you if you have no choice in the matter? Is that the kind of God you got? I'm from Manhattan, as we all know. Or some know. And I feel like, I think I know what it's like to get married or something. Anyway. And a girl. I know what it's like to get married or something. I don't know much about elephants, being in Manhattan. Maybe some of my African brothers or something are going to tell me. Or maybe some zoologist here can tell me. But I don't know much. But I read something once. And I believed it. Probably was in Reader's Digest. Anyway, what I read was, that when, you know, I go to a zoo here. I'll get back. I go to a zoo here, and I watch them. You get there early in the morning, you watch them train the elephants. And it's cool. I used to get there at 9 o'clock. Open at 9, used to get there at 9. And I watched the elephants go through their paces. It was so cool. They didn't do it. Half hour after that, it didn't happen. So I watched, and I got a funny story. No time to hysterical story about that. Anyway, Jennifer will want to hear that at lunch. But anyway, I said, how can a person that big control this huge elephant? But the story I read, I might remember it, and it was this, that when the elephant's a baby elephant, it's still pretty big, you know, when the elephant's a baby elephant, this is what they do. They do things like this. They tie the elephant, baby elephant, to a stump or something of that nature with a chain, and baby elephant, you know, kind of just try to take off like baby elephants do, and all of a sudden, whoa, and gets, you know, hung up. Baby elephant yanks and pulls and does all kinds of things, but can't get away. Later on, baby elephant becomes mama elephant. Mama elephant has been taught to, you know, push down trees with her head and walls with her head and all kinds of things mama elephant's taught. But you know, it's time a lot to say, all right, mama elephant, stay here now. We want to go sleep for a while. You know what they do, don't you? According to the book. They tie mama elephant up with a chain. Mama elephant can knock things down 10 times stronger than what she's tied to. Kind of like a dog, I know. And mama elephant kind of starts taking off. And mama elephant feels the littlest pull. You know, elephants never forget. And so mama elephant says, oh, I can't get away. Christians are like that. Except that Jesus Christ came, we were bound to Satan with a chain. I don't care if you're 5, you may become a Christian, 3, 28, I don't care. We're bound to Satan like with a chain. And when Satan yanked on, jerked the chain, we dance. Sometimes you say, I ain't dancing today. Ooh, I ain't dancing today. Ooh, I'm dancing. And we dance. Jesus Christ came and broke that chain. Took it off our legs. Satan's there with a chain that goes nowhere. And he starts pulling. And you know something? Christians start dancing. Because they're so used to dancing. And they say, oh no, I can't get away. Oh, there comes guys. Oh, I'm so sick of guys with their pornography. And they've been free from it. They've got the power. Oh no, I don't. You know I don't. Oh yes, you do. Oh yes, you do. Not in your power, but in God's power, the Spirit's power. And you name the sin. Are you dancing in? No chain attached. New power is not an absolute freedom from failure, but a new supernatural power to meet and defeat temptation. When I was a kid, there was a guy named Eddie Gray. Eddie Gray was a year or two older than me. And Eddie Gray, a great misfortune happened to me. Eddie Gray was tough. And I wasn't. He was, and I wasn't. And unfortunately, it was, our little league went to 12 years old. Then you went to the junior league, and then you went to jail. that's usually the process. Anyway, when I was 10 years old, Eddie Gray was the second baseman for the team I was on. We had a good team, championship team. Always kind of won the championship. Everybody thought the team was stacked, but it wasn't. But anyway, so this team was winning championships and bringing the little trophies home year after year after year. And I was 10, and I usually sat on the bench. And Eddie Gray was the second baseman, par excellence, and everybody was afraid of Eddie Gray. So, you know, if somebody was trying to steal the base, they'd just let Eddie tag him out because Eddie would punch him out if they, you know, later on if they were safe. Anyway, Eddie went on vacation with his parents. And to my great misfortune, the coach said, oh, one Eddie is good as another. Eddie, hey, Eddie, go play second base. And so that little Eddie was out there playing second base, and I did well. Too bad for me. Because, you know, everybody said, you know, I was getting hits, and I was doing well. And lo and behold, that fateful night, when Eddie Gray came back, and I was out there, and the coach told me to go out there, and it was field practice before the game. They do that, ladies. They will field practice before the game. And so I was out there, and all of a sudden someone said, hey, Jermaine. I went by Jermaine instead of Jermaine. That's a long story. I'll tell you at lunch sometime. Hey, Jermaine, watch out. Here comes Eddie Gray. I'm saying, oh, no. And so I did the immediate thing, and I walked off, and I just sat down and looked like I was supposed to. And the coach said, who told you to sit down? I said, well, I said, Eddie Gray's back. And he pointed the bat at me. He said, get out back out there at second base. And I went back out there at second base. And Eddie Gray said, what are you doing out here? He said, get out of here. I'm going to. And the coach said. Anyway, it wound up that I had to stay out there. And Eddie Gray was 12 the last year of the Little League. And I was 10. And he was benched. And he won the championship. And he was humiliated. And he hated me. And for years he hated me. He kept getting bigger and a lot bigger, and I kept getting a little bigger. And finally he was, you know, he was tough and he did things, and I didn't want my nose as big as it was to be rubbed on a sidewalk and things like this that Eddie Gray did to people. You know, just get him down and rub him until it comes off and things like that. And I didn't want that to happen to me. And I was a wimp, I wasn't that big a wimp. When it came to Eddie, I was a wimp because the fear was in me. And it wound up that that one day Eddie Gray just had it. I mean, he was like 16, and I was like 14 and a half or whatever, and he told me, he just had it with me. He just couldn't stand me anymore. And told me never to come out of my apartment again. It really happens. And I said, ever? And he said, if I ever see you on the streets again, I am going to just wipe your face. Your face is never going to look the same, which wasn't that bad news, but your face is never going to look the same. But I mean, he scared me to death. And so I decided to, when I came home from school, instead of going out and playing hockey, roller hockey, down the schoolyard, I think I'll start studying. And my mother was rather shocked at this transformation. But it only lasted a few days when I realized banned to my apartment for the rest of my life was awfully hard. And so I went downstairs and went into the schoolyard. It was over a barn, over a schoolyard, and I could see everybody playing. And 14-and-a-half-year-old Eddie Germain went down there, and I only had one skate. I don't know why I only had one skate, but in those days, I only had one skate. Maybe someone stole my skate, probably. But I had one left, and you were allowed to play defense in hockey with one skate in the schoolyard. Those were the rules. And so I was playing defense, and Eddie Gray said, I thought I told you never to come out again. I said, I know. Well, anyway, I wound up, he says, first chance I get, I'm going to kill you. And first chance he got, he took his stick and just, as hard as he could, hit me over the head with a stick. And so we got in a big fight. Now, please, don't get me. I'm just telling you we got in a big fight. As Presbyterian luck would have it, I wound up on top of Eddie Gray, and I did a pretty good number on him. Well, unfortunately, a lot of Eddie Gray's friends were there and pulled me off and said, it doesn't count. My big moment didn't count. Why doesn't it count? And they said, because you only have one skate on. Eddie has two. So you're going to have to fight all over again. So I had to go to opposite ends of the schoolyard, take my skate, his skates off, put on your sneakers, and I had to face this guy again who's now spitting blood and mad. Anyway, we danced again, and I won again. And I actually, the first time I ever cried for no pain but for happiness, I cried that day because I was all out of my apartment. And I beat Eddie Gray. Now, how stupid would it be? Now, I took a long time in that, but it's worth it. How stupid would it have been if I came back? Because this actually happened. A couple weeks later, Eddie Gray acted like it didn't happen. Those guys can do that. I don't know how. It was my big moment. He acted like it didn't happen. And Eddie Gray told me, again, unless you want to fight again, you go back up to your apartment. My first temptation was, I don't want to fight again. I'll go back. How stupid would that have been? I almost did it. No. I just tested you. Satan has been defeated, not by you, because you can't and couldn't do it, but by Jesus. Jesus came and whooped Satan. Whooped him. Whooped him. Whooped him. So you can walk around and be free not only from the punishment of sin, but to be free from the power of sin. Jesus bore your sins in his body, not just so you'd be free from the punishment of sin, but you'd be free from the power of sin. So no matter what Satan tells you, no matter what your background, folks, it's going to take a while for this to sink in. I'm telling you, you don't have to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Do not let sin rule in your bodies, because Jesus whooped them. Stop dancing. Moving right along. I can do it pretty well. As well as I can do it. This is the handout you have. You can just look up here. I'd rather you look up here. I got to say one other thing. That 1 Corinthians 10:13 verse is essential, folks. No temptation shall overtake you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. But with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Is God a liar or not? Do you believe it or not? Do you practice it or not? Here's a quick summary with a couple more thrown in. I didn't touch them. You don't have to take notes. You've got it. Romans 7, verses 1 through 6 says, I have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Jesus Christ met the requirements of the law. There's the law with a capital L, and there's the law of sin and death with a small L. But we won't go there right now. Since I am in Christ, the death penalty has been met in my stead. I am free. Folks, when you appear before God, actually before Jesus, before God, the only way to appear before God is to be clothed in Christ's righteousness. If a little teeny tiny hair is sticking out, you're in trouble. At least that teeny tiny hair is in trouble. Anything that's not clothed in Christ's righteousness, zap! I'm telling you, when I face God and out of this body, in the soul, then in my new body, I'm telling you, every inch of me is in that clothed in Christ's righteousness. Because heaven or hell for eternity depends, am I in Christ's righteousness? Am I clothed in Christ's righteousness? I am in Christ or not, I am. And I'm going to spend eternity with God because I am. But you know, on earth, I am also in Christ. You understand that? Christ is in me, I am in Christ. And because I am in Christ and Christ is in me, I have the power to defeat Satan. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am in Christ. He bore my sins in his body. When he died, I died. Before God and his judges. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus bore my sin in his body on the cross that I may die to sin and live to righteousness. It's not just Jesus bore my sin in his body on the cross that I may be saved from the punishment of sin. The Bible says that I might die to sin and live to righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. The sinless Son of God becomes sin for me. I am a brand new creation. Ed German is an ambassador of the living God. Talk about a humble God. God begging people to be reconciled to him through Christ. And I am his ambassador. And you are God's ambassador. This is a title God has given you. This is a position God has given you. Don't blow this off because you're responsible for it. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Romans 6:10 through 14. Reckon, consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. God says, not Ed German, God says, sin shall not have power, dominion, to rule over you anymore. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God provides the way of escape. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, you won't see it. You've got to believe in choice. And God will give you the glasses to see it. And lastly, Colossians 1, 13 or 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's what it says. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. A lot of philosophies will say each and every one of us are doomed to a life of something because of our background. Most of it, just slivers of truth, like Satan would do. There's slivers of truth in everything. Most of it is nonsense. I had a real rough background. My wife had a rough background. We've got together, and we just took the direction book. And we start following directions. And we got kids. And we've got happiness. And no one's been abused. And no one's been hurt. And no one's been anything. Because we have done it through the power of God through faith. I have not done diddly except believe. I have not picked myself up by my bootstraps. I have not willed myself against Satan and his power. I have done none of that. I'd get killed. I have simply taken God at his word. Y'all are going to have to go within yourselves individually and put God's word up against how you live. And you're going to have to move. And if you want to experience what you came beyond coming here, if you want to experience what you came here to experience, you can't get around faith. You're going to have to take God at his word no matter what the screaming memes inside your head tell you. It may take time. It may be like that. But you're going to be free because you are free. Let's pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, the truths that you tell us are astounding. Lord, may we live by them. May we take you at your word. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, will you please clothe your ambassadors, each and every one of them right here, right now. Clothe your ambassadors. Lord, give them faith, give them power, give them your spirit. Lord, help them to understand. Help them to believe. Oh God, may each and every one of these folks, for their own individual lives and the generations to come out of them, may they believe. In Jesus' name, amen.